You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas is ready for full pads. Full padded practice will start on Thursday. The Razorbacks have gone through five practices. They'll take Wednesday off, and they will scrimmage for the first time this weekend on Saturday afternoon. Matt Jones with Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com and Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. The Razorbacks went through their final non-full pad practice on Tuesday afternoon. They practiced inside the Walker Pavilion due to some thunderstorms that were in the area. Tom, you were in there. You saw the first 15 minutes or so of practice. Just what were your takeaways on Tuesday?
Well, I like the physicality that they practice with, and they go hard, but they quote, take care of each other. And it was a good break for them after a couple of, well, the first 3 days were held in really, really brutal temperatures. And Sam Pittman talked about how there was some cramping issues, and Hudson Henry's asthma kicked in, and he wasn't able to finish the Friday practice. But inside, it was actually quite pleasant, and I liked the compete drills that we saw. We were only in there for probably four periods, maybe 20 minutes, and I put an eye to the running backs versus linebackers and wrote about that, in that I thought Rocket Sanders was just really on point with his physicality, just his footwork, his leverage, his upper and lower body just both engaged, and he held off every linebacker that he blocked. Some of the linebackers had some really good rushes, and we saw some grabbing and holding from other running backs. Rocket just really stymied Bumper Pool and two other guys, so he had a good day. I would say Sam Mbake, the receiver, had a couple of really nice catches in some red zone work they did, and then just some on-air routes. We didn't get to see the fastball starts that sometimes we do, and we can get a lot of depth chart indications and things like that from those. So we didn't see those yesterday, but I have a feeling when they come back from the Saturday scrimmage early next week, we're going to really start getting some greater depth chart, you know, notices. And honestly, at this point, I mean, there's a few positions that I think there's some good hot battles, but otherwise there's a lot of settled spots on this roster.
Let's get into that. What are the positions that you think are the best position battles right now?
Cornerback is still pretty lively. Although we've seen Hudson Clark and Malik Chavis run with the ones, we know what talent Dwight McLaughlin comes to Arkansas with, confidence, the swagger he plays with. And then Ladarius Bishop has been a starter. And I think with him, a lot of it might be about confidence. He started more games last year than Clark, but he had some kind of leg injury, maybe a hamstring or something going on that slowed him in camp in spring. And I'm not sure if we've seen him run with the ones yet. So I think that's a good battle. One to keep an eye on, obviously, is Dalton Wagner and Tykeus Crawford. I mean, we've heard Sam Pittman say, we've got to find a place for this guy to play, mentioning Crawford, but you got four starters back, and Luke Jones seems to be the best option at left tackle. They seem to like Tykeus on the right side. I think they're going to find a way to give him some snaps and maybe take a little bit off Dalton Wagner, who's had some back issues. And then I think running back is pretty strong right now, and to the point where Rocket Sanders might get even more higher percentage of the carries than the top backs did last year. And I think defensive line, there's still a lot up in the air. And I think Isaiah Nichols is probably settled at one of the tackle spots, but I think they're going to have to wind up playing Eric Gregory a lot more inside, because A, Torian Carter is going to be lost for a good chunk of the season with his knee. And then B, Cam Ball had to be taken by ambulance on, I think it was Sunday. And I'm thinking that might have been some kind of heat-related deal. And then another of the D tackles was missing yesterday. So they're a little slim there. So we might see some good battles at that position.
Yeah, to me, I think the most interesting battles aren't necessarily for starting positions yet, but just that backup running back role and who's going to be their number two guy after Rocket or Dominique comes back. I think those guys are your two established guys that are going to get carries no matter the case. But then you still have AJ Green, Rashad Dubinion, James Joyner, all fighting for scraps after that. And I think they're all three very talented. And I would be interested to see who comes out atop of that battle. you touched on the DBs as well. And I think that battle with McLaughlin and Hudson Clark is one to watch, mostly because I think if they go into the season with Hudson Clark as a starting cornerback, it means one of two things: that Hudson Clark has, he said he's put on weight, but I think what he really needed to add was his speed. And so it either means he's gotten quick enough that he can play at the outside corner at an SEC level, or the guys that they brought in McLaughlin and the freshmen aren't up to the standard that they want yet.
Tom, you mentioned in your observations that we had on Whole Hog Sports yesterday about Jackson Woodard, the linebacker. You just said that he had a rep, I think, against Rashad DeBenyon. That was impressive to you. But he's somebody that's kind of stood out to me a little bit, not so much in his play, because, you know, again, we're not seeing just a whole lot more than individual or position drills, but just in the fact that there have been some times where he's been playing out there with the first team defense, and what we've seen, it seems like he's made a step to where they're beginning to really trust him, and that he's going to become, you know, one of those rotational linebackers that's going to get a number of snaps in a game. We'll see how many.
Fully agree. I mean, he's a former walk-on who's just come a long way. I mean, he just seems like he's ready for the game. I mean, even last year, there were times where he was clearly ahead of Deion Edwards, and at times it seemed he was the fourth linebacker or maybe fifth behind, you know, the big three. He did have some really good pass pro reps the other day. The coaches really like Rashad DeBenyon, but based on his pass pro, he just got a ways to go and probably wasn't required to do it a whole lot in high school. But just the speed and the quickness of guys like Woodard and like Jordan Crook getting in some nice rushes on him, and James Joynter too. Both those guys, although to their credit, they stayed with it and they had some stalemates that if you can keep off the quarterback for about 4 seconds, then you've essentially won the rep. So even if sometimes it looks like you get a little overpowered or the guy kind of gets around the edge, as long as you can get a piece of him, you can still win the rep as a running back. They weren't doing that on Rocket Sanders. He was completely snuffing all his guys.
Yeah, he's pretty impressive, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. And in addition to the fact that I think he's running with, you know, lower pat level now, the amount of progress he's made in basically 1 year plus a spring as a tailback has been phenomenal. And then I always like to harken back to the Alabama game where they had to score with about a minute left, and he made a fantastic catch in the end zone, you know, going to the ground. So he's got the hands, got vision, speed, you know, pretty much the full package.
We talked yesterday with Kenny Guyton, the receivers coach. Also a couple of receivers came into the interview room, Jaden Hazelwood and Keetron Jackson. We're going through a portion of practice right now. We're talking to basically a different position coach every day. We won't talk to one on Wednesday, but that'll resume later this week. What were your takeaways, Tom, in listening to Kenny Guyton, the second-year receiver coach who used to be a quarterback at Ohio State?
Pretty jacked up about his group, and I do think it's a clever thing to bring in all the assistant coaches and guys at that position, because it allows the media to kind of tailor its coverage, and we're kind of reflecting that as we go along through camp. And obviously we write the position glances, take in every position on the team during the course of camp. We do the same thing in spring. I tell you, I'm not a guy who's eager to, quote, drink the Kool-Aid on a year-to-year basis. And as much as I had concerns that they wouldn't find someone to replace Treylon Burks, who's had a phenomenal season, I do think in the end, they're going to wind up getting good production out of this receiver group. And the fact that they're a taller group, you know, basically, you know, a little harder to cover for a, you know, 6 foot, 6'1" corner. They got taller guys. And then we keep hearing them talk about Matt Landers' speed, and the guy's 6'5". So he's the former Georgia signee, went to Toledo, had a big year, 25 or so yards per catch last year. Everybody we've talked to, from the cornerbacks, Clark and Chavis, to the receivers in the room yesterday, Hazelwood and Keetron, are touting Matt Landers. And so did Kenny Guyton. I think in the end, we're going to see a deeper receiving core, and certainly not a big gap between, say, a Treylon Burks and the next best guy, who was Tyson Morris last year. I think between the ones I've just mentioned and Warren Thompson, and then speed guys like Bryce Stevens and, say, Jaquelin Crawford, they're going to have plenty of options. And then you add Isaiah Satania to the mix, and they're going to have some really nice options at wideouts. I'm interested to hear what you guys think too.
You know, Andrew and I, we've talked about all the different players that are speedy players on this roster. And it has kind of stood out to me the last couple of days that when you're asking players about who are the fastest receivers, they're not necessarily ranking them, but in a group where you've got burners like Satania and Crawford, it seems like Matt Landers is the guy, Andrew, who comes out of their mouth the first time.
Yeah, when we talked to the DBs, I think it was Scotty who asked him, what was it about Matt Landers that made him so hard to cover? Was it his technique? And I think it was Malik Chavis just said speed about 10 consecutive times. So, I mean, that tells you the guy can just fly. I mean, everybody's fast in the SEC, but if you're standing out like that, you've got some superhuman burners on you, I guess.
Yeah, and a side note, Matt, while we're talking about speed, I think we've seen the evolution of an SEC roster in the last 3-4 years here, that Arkansas was sorely lacking speed in the Chad Morris era. And those guys, I know they take a lot of bashing. Those guys did a pretty decent job of recruiting. So a lot of the veteran players on this team now were recruited by that staff. But I do believe that Sam Pittman saw, you know, what the image of an SEC team should be. And you've got to have speed, and you got to have size and, you know, and strength. And I think with the exception of defensive tackle, I don't think they're to the right numbers there yet. I think we're seeing a lot more in the secondary and at wide out, and basically Arkansas looking like an SEC roster.
Yeah, I made the point on here last week that I think Dustin Frye ought to get a lot of credit for where they are from an offensive line standpoint, because he recruited Stromberg, Limmer, and Latham, and that's really the kind of the core of the offensive line this year. All three of those guys are, you know, either on all SEC preseason teams or preseason All-America teams. Sam Pittman has done a very good job, Tom, I think, of, and you alluded to this, but really over these first couple of years, taking pieces and making them work and then patching whatever the holes are with transfers or whatever they've gotten in from their recruiting classes.
It really has. They've got a major recruiting staff right now. I mean, there's some stars here that are bringing in talent. And I also think they're overall approach goes a long way with recruits, and it makes the rounds in recruiting circles that if you're not just cursing out players all the time, you treat them with respect, you show them how to become better players and lay that template before them, that there's a certain harmony in your locker room and on the field. And what we gather from one position group after the other that comes into the room is that it's a family deal. They like the blue chip mentality that Sam Pittman espouses, and they just want to outwork people. I don't know. It's just a good vibe. And honestly, it's an across campus type vibe that Hunter Yurecek's created, but certainly in the football program, they seem to like enjoy playing for Sam Pittman and the coaching staff and playing with each other. I didn't hear the receivers in there talking about how they wanted to get their staff. I mean, Hazelwood wants to be a premier receiver, but they're talking up the Hazelwoods of the world and the Satanias of the world that we're all in this together and we want to see each other succeed. And that's not always the case in every locker room.
Hey, Tom, we mentioned this yesterday. Arkansas is ranked number 23 in the preseason coaches poll. You're an AP voter. The AP poll will come out next Monday. Just, I don't know if you can give us where you have Arkansas ranked. If you can, tell us, but just kind of give us your idea of where you see Arkansas within the national landscape.
Right. I don't have a problem with revealing my vote. And I will say this, Wake Forest, Sam Hartman, the quarterback, there was news on that yesterday about he might be out indefinitely. So YAP gave all the voters, and I guess there's 62 voters, gave us a chance to go back into our ballots. And I did have Wake Forest at number 20. And I hate to do it to them because you kind of earn that spot, but I dropped them down and added another team into my poll. I've got the Razorbacks at number 15, and I view the poll as just a snapshot of A, how you finished last year, and then B, your returning talent, not like who you play this season, because it's going to be hard for Arkansas, just like it was last year after they started 4-0 and, you know, upset Texas and A&M in those first four games. They rose up to number 8. Well, that was always going to be hard to maintain because you still had Bama, LSU, Auburn, a bunch of tough teams, Ole Miss on your schedule, and Georgia. So I think they're deserving of around in the teens, around 15. I think I saw them in that position in a lot of other magazines and online polls. The coaches, I think, undervalued the SEC West because Ole Miss was behind Arkansas I think it was 23-24, and then LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State weren't in it. I mean, obviously, Alabama and A&M were both in the top 10, Bama being one. Arkansas, I don't believe, you know, they're not going to go undefeated. So I think 15 is probably a good spot for them to start the season.
Will you rank Texas number one?
I'm pretty sure Texas was not on my preseason ballot. You kind of have to earn your way in there. And I've seen where a prominent media member has gone on a search for who voted Texas number one, because either A, you know, maybe you want that pressure on Texas. I don't know. Or B, you really believe in what the Longhorns have done in accruing talent. And I like Steve Sarkisian as a coach. I think he's going to get it together better. Number one in the preseason, I don't think that was a good place.
For those who are unaware, Texas had a number one vote in the coaches poll that came out earlier this week. My opinion is that it's a coach who's going to play Texas sometime early in the season. And it's a way to prepare his team a little bit more for that game, because they might have a number next to their name whenever they play the Longhorns, as if playing Texas isn't motivation enough. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas, where you always get the best service and the best buying experience in the state.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Each day on the Whole Hog Football Podcast during the preseason, we'll take a deeper look at a different position on the Razorbacks roster. Today we're going to talk about tight ends. Dal Loggins is the second-year tight ends coach at Arkansas. Of course, Dal's got a great resume. He's been a longtime NFL assistant coach before he moved back to Fayetteville last year. Played for the Razorbacks in the early 2000s, was a backup quarterback and a holder. The tight end position this year is an interesting one to me, Tom, like a lot of positions are, just because you know the names, but you don't necessarily know the production that they're going to give you. Trey Knox is a player who came in here very highly recruited. I think he was a four-star receiver recruit out of Tennessee. Didn't really work out for him at receiver. And after the first game last year against Rice, he asked for a position change. There had been some thought through his first couple of years or through the last couple of years that he might be a good tight end because the coaches liked how he blocked as a receiver. Of course, he had to put on some weight. He's done it. He said that he's about 245 pounds right now. I think for Knox, he's going to add something to them in the passing game. It's really going to come down to, you know, how good of an inline blocker has he become? Because that's what, as everybody knows, especially in an offense where you're trying to run the ball a lot, that tight end's really got to be able to block in the run game. And I think that's what's going to determine how much he's able to stay on the field.
Yeah, and, you know, I've made no secret of my appreciation and like for Trey Knox ever since I did the Hog Futures on him his freshman year. Just an engaging, bright kid. He came up to Northwest Arkansas and just put himself into the culture. I mean, he was up here axe throwing in Rogers because it was fun. You know, he was one of the first guys who got an NIL endorsement, I think, for something related to dogs, dog food or something. And just a great kid. And so now that great receiver class that came in a few years back, Treylon Burks, he panned out. The other two, Nash and Jackson, wound up transferring. And now Knox is the lone guy left on the roster from that group. And, you know, He had a solid freshman year on a not a great offensive team, but his ability to shake coverage and get open, you know, get a step on somebody is what was holding him back. And I think the move to tight end, when it's in season like it was last year, as he put it, he wasn't able to study up on all the nuances. There just wasn't time to go through it all. And now he's doing that. Even so, when you think back to last year in some clutch late game situations, Ole Miss and Mississippi State in particular, KJ Jefferson went to him on late drives where they had to move the ball, had to move the chains, and Knox made, they weren't long catches, but move the chain type catches. And this is him being just a few weeks into playing tight end. So I think he's going to be a great option. I think they're going to test the field against every defense they face. They're going to try to stretch it vertically with the fast guys we've talked about today. And then if those things are covered up, I think Trey Knox is going to be a great option who can get open against nickels and linebackers and safeties. You know, the depth behind him is a question, but I think Trey Knox is going to, as he put it in spring, he thinks he's going to make a lot of money playing tight end.
Yeah, I think the tight end position as a whole is one of the few spots in the Arkansas offense over the past couple of years that is maybe to a point disappointing just because of how many high-end recruits. You had Hudson Henry, who was one of the top recruits in his class, join Arkansas, and he had, what, 4 catches last year. Aaron Outley had big offers from LSU, Oregon, A&M, among others, and he is still recovering from that knee surgery, but he hasn't played much. And Dowell Loggins gave us a projected depth chart, I believe, if they were to go out and play Cincinnati that day. He said the top two would be Knox and Henry. And then that, we talked about position battles earlier, and that third spot is kind of up for grabs with Nathan Bax, Tyrus Washington, and Outley and others. And I think Bax is a guy that I think is going to have a surprising role among Arkansas fans because he's not really a household name. He doesn't wow you with any athletic traits, but he's reliable and they can count on him to be in the right spots and do the little things. And I think that's big for them.
Yeah, those are great points. And I think what they really have to be careful of doing is making it so if Bax is in the game, it's not like you're giving away, this is a run play. You know what I mean? And Hudson Henry, he has not lived up to expectations. I mean, that's just the only way you can put it. But Dowell Loggins said he's a great team player. And when Hudson's in the room, he's a great talker and a communicator. And he's like his brother or his brothers who are, you know, these are legacy kids. You know, the game means something to them. And I enjoy always talking to Hayden and Hudson. I think the projected depth would be Knox, and then Bax and Henry are kind of right in there together. And I think we're going to see, we've seen good hands out of Bax. I mean, they had a fastball start the other day. We had a catch over the middle that would have been a nice gainer. He might only wind up with 8 or 10 catches and maybe even not that many, but I think he's capable of doing it. Ty Washington, interesting kid. They said the right things about him. Knox said this kid's going to be a problem. I believe is the way he said, that boy is going to be a problem. Hudson Henry mentioned he asked questions. He wants to get better. And so there's your top four probably. And honestly, with the tight end class they've got coming in, I think they're going to be set up for years to come at this spot.
Washington, a problem in a good way, by the way, for Arkansas, as in he'll be a problem for the opposing defenses. I want to unpack some of what you said there, Tom. First, let's go to Hudson Henry. I thought it was unfair may not be the right word, but to rank him the number one tight end out of high school, I always thought was really peculiar because if you've watched Pulaski Academy under Kevin Kelly, they don't run a tight end. Hudson Henry was a wide receiver in high school. It's been a transition for him to learn how to play that position. And so it's like when people say that he's underperformed or hasn't lived up to expectations, a lot of it has to do with the fact that he was ranked the number one tight end out of high school, a position that he had never played. That just always struck me as peculiar, and I wonder how much of that had to do with the fact that Hunter Henry was his brother.
Yeah. Andrew, what do you think?
I mean, I certainly think the family legacy has played a part in it and played a part in Razorback fans expecting so much out of him so soon. Even Hudson admitted it the other day in the press conference that he's only really played tight end for as long as he's been at Arkansas. And so I guess he's been classified as a tight end, but it is a newer thing for him. And I think that learning curve may have been a bit steeper than anticipated. And maybe this is the year that it finally all clicks for him.
Yeah, that would be great. Cause we know he could catch the ball. But as a tight end, you've got to be able to, you know, take on defensive ends and, you know, some great edge guys.
I'm just saying that's been the issue for him, right?
I think it has, the physicality part of it, because we know he can run routes and catch the ball. So this would be a good year for him to rise up, because they could use the second and third tight end. And what better time than now for him to do that?
You guys were talking about backs and how he catches the ball. You know, I watched him in some of his drills, and one of the things that really stands out to me is about how he puts his hands out in front of him to catch the ball. You don't always see this, and you don't, you know, I mean, even in that, you know, big tight end group that they have, you know, you watch guys run before or after him. Sometimes you'll see it hit their arm. Sometimes you'll see it hit their chest. He really catches the ball with his hands, Tom. And I think that's, you know, to your point, that's why I think he can maybe factor into this passing game.
Yeah, I think so. And interesting point about backs is, I had not seen him up close a whole lot over these years. You see these guys through their helmets, and he just looked like a big, big dude. And then he comes into the interview room, and he's got glasses on, and he's, you know, well-groomed. You're like, well, this is a handsome young fella, and he doesn't look like a big hulking tight end. He looked like just a big, tall kid and kind of a smart guy with those glasses. I don't know. Maybe I'm just judging him too much, but just looked like a clean-cut, you know, all-American type kid.
Astute would be the word that I think I would use with the look that he came into the interview room. You know, I asked Dow Loggins this during the interviews the other day, you know, if there's any, because the comparison that I think is used for him a lot, Trey Knox used it with me this spring, Kendall Briles, or I read that he said it in our Hogs Illustrated preview over the summer, it's Blake Kern. We hear Blake Kern a lot when it comes to Nathan Bax. I think some of it probably has to do with their body types. I think they're a similar body type. Kern might have been a little bit bigger last year than Bax is now, but Kern is also older than Bax by a couple of years. But the thing that Knox said to me during the spring that I thought was really interesting was that he's just Mr. Consistent. He's Mr. Reliable. I think you mentioned the word reliable earlier. And he said that's what they always knew that they had with Kern, was there was a reliability factor there that they felt really comfortable with. And I think Bax probably fits into that mold. And maybe that's why you hear the comparisons to Kern so much.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Matt. And you know what? Just a classic walk-on guy who wanted to get himself a scholarship. He was on the same Illinois State roster. In fact, went to the same visit at Illinois State with John Ridgeway and said he's the same guy here as he was there, just a physical animal guy who just and kind of funny too. So I think Bax earned himself the scholarship, and he's a physical kid too. So clearly the position is going to be one that I think they're going to have plenty of depth with this year. I hope we get a good look at Ty Washington, because I think he's going to be a great combo. I did the Hog Futures on him as well. There's something about this South Georgia thing where, you know, it's tough, physical kids. And his coach talked about how, you know, that was just his mentality. And I talked to him, great, great kid, and looking to improve and getting on the playing field this year.
Yeah, that made my ears perk up whenever Dow Loggins said something about South Georgia, because I've heard Sam Pittman talk about it too. He said that when he was the offensive line coach at Georgia, they loved going down and recruiting players from that area because of just kind of the upbringing that they had. Hey, one more, Tom, before we get out of here. Trey Knox, how much does this remind you of Chris Gregg's position move to tight end about 12, 13 years ago?
Yeah, pretty similar. I mean, I think Gregg had a little bit more upper body to him, and so took on the blocking component of this maybe a little more quickly. But I think Trey Knox is very willing. I mean, I remember the first few days we saw him after the position change, I mean, you know, getting after the dummies, and, you know, he wasn't sulking. And I think there's some guys who, like, they were primo receiver, and, hey, look, the best way for you to get on the field, kid, is to move to tight end. It's almost like insulting, but he didn't take it that way. And he got after it, and he saw a path to potentially making an NFL roster. And Dow Loggins talked about how, look, prove yourself as a special teams guy too. So I'm really excited to see. I'm not looking at his stat numbers from last year. Well, I'm about to be looking at him. He had 20 catches, you know, I think he has a chance to be in the 30s and to potentially double that this year.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good point. You know, we had our receiver roundtable at Whole Hog Sports a couple of weeks ago, and one of the questions was, who do you think will lead the team in receiving yards, and who do you think will lead the team in receptions? I didn't have him in either one, but I did put a note at the end. I said it wouldn't surprise me to see him challenge for the lead in either of those, just because he does have such good receiving skills. One more story Knox told me during the spring. He said that he had a high school coach who told him many, many years ago, he said, your future is at tight end. And he basically said, you know, I put that off for as long as I possibly could. And now it seems like, you know, what everybody's been telling me has finally come to fruition. He said that, you know, the biggest adjustment for him is playing with the new weight. He did say he had to get a new pair of football pants. He said, cause his derriere has gotten so big. So I guess that's good news for a tight end. We appreciate you joining us on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. We'll be back with another podcast tomorrow where we'll take a look at another Razorback position. Until then, hope you'll join us at wholehogsports.com for all of our coverage of the Razorbacks preseason football practice, as well as Scotty Bordelon and Bob Holt's coverage of the Razorback basketball team playing overseas in Spain. For Tom Murphy and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. We'll see you again tomorrow.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.